get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 241 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to some Mila J. What's the name of this song? Kicking Back. Kicking Back. Rock out with your boy, man.
Everything I do is way up, man. If anybody good, I swear, sus, man. I'm vibing, I'm chilling, I'm good. I'm kicking back and I'm vibing, I'm chilling, I'm good.
Yes, indeed, y'all. It's Tuesday night. Y'all know what we do here on Tuesday nights. It's the Span Report Podcast evening. And we got a special guest here tonight with us. We got Stephanie of the Mocha Minutes Podcast here with us. Say what's up to the people, fam.
Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody?
You know, we chilling over here. This shit mellow as hell. I like this, man. I was in
the It really is. It's so auntie and uncle right now. That's it. It's the auntie and uncle out.
Now, hold on. See, first of all, hold on. If this is auntie and uncle out, like, I feel like auntie and uncle music is like Kim. You know what I'm saying? When love's calling your name.
That's
shit,
true.
You
know That's what I'm true. Saying?
When Kim roll like, hey, girl, he roll that R real hard. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's auntie and uncle music. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but it gave me the vibe, though. It really did. I was like, oh, I'm sitting somewhere drinking my alcohol.
Yeah.
Eating my chicken.
Kindred, the family the family spirit. I think that's the name. They real auntie and uncle-ish. You know what I'm saying? I kind of look at, like, the people who go to those concerts usually have, like, conversion vans and, like, the uncle. And, like, the uncle. And like the uncle usually like wears Palomino straw hats every fucking wear, and he got on like, you know, he wears dress slacks everywhere. He go to work in dress slacks. He come to the basketball court in dress slacks. The whole shit.
Hold on. I got cold. Let me change my clothes real quick. I'll be right back. Hold my spot.
That man work at the plant. He been working there for 35 years. He got his pension up. He go to the blues bars. That's
the, not the blues bars.
Indeed, I grew up around people like that, man. That's how I know. Like,
you, very true. Or the pool hall. They got to go to the pool hall.
Or the pool hall. But you know what, though? I think the pool hall has been skewing kind of young lately. You know, people been going there kind of young. Every now and again, you'll find that old nigga in the back. You know, the shark. You know what I'm saying? He like, oh, that little young Thundercat.
Yeah. Oh, y'all know what you're doing. Let me show you how you doing. Let me show you.
Little Thundercat. Think he gonna come in here take all the money? I got.
And they did say Thundercat.
Call them Thundercats. Indeed, man.
That's so bad. Man, but we at that age where it's like, man, I'm not an auntie. I don't know. I have my moments, especially when it comes to the hippity hop. I'm like, look, I don't know what y'all saying on the hippity hop.
I got nephews and nieces. I got so many nephews and nieces, some of which I really don't even really know them. I'm just like, yo.
Like, hey there.
Like, hey, what's up, little nigga? Who kid is you again? Like,
so for bad.
For real.
Like, see, my nephew is only 5. So I got the baby. Well, and see, the baby is hilarious because he's at this point where you say hello, sup, what are you doing? It's like, I can't deal with you today. I just can't.
See,
you know, he in his own little world.
I got a brother who got 3 kids. And then I got a sister that got a kid. And then my older sister got like 5. I got another older sister that got 2. My other brother's got, I think he's got 2. Like, yeah, so, but I don't get a chance to see them often. So, like, sometimes I'd be like, who are you again? Like, they'd be like, what's up, uncle? Like, wait, whose kid are you?
Who are you?
I got to figure it out. You know, it's that sad, man. It's sad. It really is. But,
oh my gosh.
Thanks for coming on tonight.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Sister, we got to introduce the show. Of course, you guys know y'all are listening to the Spare Report Podcast, and I'm going to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voices be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up on the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We will play them on the show and respond. And if you're watching the show live and you want to chime in, you can also call that hotline number and chop it up with your boy and our friend here, Stephanie from the Mocha Minutes Podcast. Go ahead and use that hotline number and get in on this show here. You can also hit us up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you right here on the show. Check us out on iTunes and or Stitcher. Leave those 5-star reviews. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It doesn't cost you a dime to put on for the show. Just 2 minutes of your time. We really do want those 5-star reviews, man. I'm going to have to start coming at y'all with Bertha for the 5-star reviews.
Oh, Lord.
Because, like, oh, please shit. Don't. Oh, shit. Here comes man. No, I ain't going to do that. I got shit to live for. I can't be out here threatening you, motherfucker. Oh, 5-star reviews.
Please don't. Please don't. Lord have mercy.
Those 5-star reviews are very much appreciated. We really do hope. We really do like for everybody to go about that and do that. That really does help the show. You really don't know how much that helps. Also, man, go to our website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate that money, too. And you can go to our store right from there, man. You can go to the store, buy yourself some merch, get you a nice warm hoodie, wrap yourself up in the warmth of the Spare Report Podcast Network hoodie. You know what I'm saying? Do yourself that favor, man. Do yourself that favor and get you some swag from the Spare Report Podcast Network store over at T Public, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. That's all the hustling and shit I'm gonna do for y'all tonight. But yo, Stephanie, how are you?
I am wonderful. I am. I haven't been able to say that in a while. And I'm saying it even during this Black History Month that I'm saying I'm wonderful.
Man, we need to just like throw this whole month in a bag of rice.
Just
throw it in some rice.
Can I pick a new month? No, it's like, yeah, Black History Month is another month this year.
Yeah, it's something different. It's like, it's kind of why I named this episode Oh for Fuck's Sake. Because like there's so much bullshit going on this month, man.
It's like, are you all of this? Like, y'all couldn't have waited. January felt like 3 months. I feel like y'all had plenty of time to do all these shenanigans in January. January was like 90 days. Y'all had all this time. All of a sudden, it was like a snowball rolling downhill. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it felt like.
Now it's just like, oh, okay.
I feel like, you know, we need to go like the tech support route when it comes to February right now. Like, unplug this bitch for like 30 seconds. All right, now
send us a new link.
Now plug it back in. Hit the reboot button. Like, no, hold that power button for like 15 more seconds. Okay, did the screen come back on? Did it say February? Was it spelled right? Okay. Okay, did you get your Wakanda wallpaper back up there? Okay. Like, we got to figure this out. We gotta go the tech support route when it comes to February, because it's some bullshit, man, for real.
Pretty much. I feel like this is like, is this payback for Black Panther? I know last year, all month was for Black Panther. And then I feel like y'all like, oh, really? Y'all not having a repeat of last year. We got something for y'all ass.
Oh, man, it seemed like all of them, like all the racists and all like these clothing companies and shit are just like, hold my beer. I got some shit. It's like the racism one-upsman game that we didn't know that everybody was playing and shit.
It's like, it is. It's racism, hold my beer. It's like, oh, you had them ugly ass shoes? Hold my beer. I got something for you.
Like, yeah, what? Brianna in the chat, she's like, it feels like everything has happened all at once in 3 days. It really has. It's been a bunch of bullshit going on. For the last
so freaking much. I'm like, what else? And the bad part about it is like, even with all the podcasts talking about this stuff, I feel like it's just scratching the surface.
Yeah, because there's so much going on, and like this, like especially in one topic, because we're going to talk a little bit about Jussie Smollett tonight. In one topic, Ooh-cha. There's a bunch of bullshit going on with that. So, yeah, man, it's like this month, just I'll be glad when it's fucking over. I really will.
Yeah.
I'll be glad when it's over. But we're going to learn a little bit about you tonight.
Hey.
You are a podcaster.
I am.
You are a podcaster. So I got to know, what inspired you to get behind the mic? What was like, you know what? I need to be doing this shit right there. That's what I need to be doing.
You know what? I love telling this story because it feels so organic because mm-hmm. it's actually because of Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips.
Okay.
So I was listening to the Black Guy Who Tips, and I like listen to a lot of different podcasts. Like when Mike and Mike, was still on, I would listen to their podcast, which is really not a podcast. It's literally just a replay of the show.
Yeah, the radio show.
But, so it's kind of like I listen to a lot of different stuff. And I think it was on one of the feedback shows that Rob was like, if you guys have all these ideas, maybe you should start a podcast. And I was like, he's right. I should. But then I did the, but then I did the thing that a lot of Black women do. It's like, oh, nobody's going to listen. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Mm-hmm. That whole self-doubt that you do. So it took me like maybe 8 or 9 months. Like I guested on a local podcast here, well, local to DC, because I'm in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But, her co-host was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. She's like, if anybody listening wants to do this, come on the show. Mm-hmm. I literally was the first person to say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then I got behind the mic going, I can do this. Then it just happened. And I'm like, it's weird to just look going, I can't believe I wasn't doing this sooner.
Yeah. You know what? When you're doing it, you're like, man, I could have been doing this shit. I could have been doing this shit. What was I waiting on?
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, why am I not doing this? And it's work. I feel like.
Oh, it's definitely work.
A lot of people who don't know, it's like, oh, it's work. I'm like, not just sitting on the mic and bam, put it out. I'm like, no, I got to edit some shit out.
Yeah.
You got to edit. You got to grind. You got to promote. You got to like, for me, since, we're both solo podcasters and I always have a guest. I'm like, you got to like put out feelers for other folks. And I think about the people that I've met through podcasting who have become more than just like fellow podcasters that are actually friends.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm very blessed that I am a solo podcaster because that makes me get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, let me talk to other people. Because I feel like if I, still had a co-host, because I started with a co-host and then this wasn't what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's the first lesson I could tell anybody if they're like asking about podcasting. You gotta love what you're doing. Because if you're not doing this for the right reason, it's going to come out and you're going to hate.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you, whether or not the design when you first came out was for you to be a solo podcaster. And you just said that you had a co-host who decided that mm-hmm. wasn't something that they wanted to do. So how did you like kind of juggle that up? Like, how did you decide, I'm still going to go about the business. I'm still going to do this. This is what I want to do. How did you kind of work around that and structure your show to, for your, being solo and whatnot?
Yeah. So when she did tell me, because this is a person that isn't just somebody like a complete stranger, this is somebody who I consider my sister.
Okay.
And so Shannon Sharp said it literally the week that all of this happened, he said, teeth and hair fall out, friends don't. Mm. And for me, when she said she didn't want to do this anymore, of course, there's that one little moment of panic when I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I spent all this time one, doubting myself, and then finally pushing the button. And she just looked at me and said, Stephanie, you can do this. Mm-hmm. She's like, you don't need me to do this. And then I realized I was using her as a crutch. Mm. And it's kind of like, I can't grow if I'm just staying safe.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's what helped. I'm like, I'm not going to be safe. I may tailor my show to things that I want to talk about, but when it comes to my voice, I'm not going to be safe about it. Yeah. I'm just not.
Yeah. You know, like, just kind of going a little bit back for when, like, when I first started podcasting, originally, mm-hmm. the Span Report was not supposed to be a solo show. Like, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It never was supposed to be just me. When I first thought about really doing a podcast, I tried to get all my boys on to the mm-hmm. podcast. I'm like, yo, man, we can come over. Y'all can come over to my spot. Funny thing, Beer and Chicken is like real talk. Beer and Chicken was something I had been thinking about for 9 years.
Wow.
Because that's what originally what I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to have all my fellas come over to the crib. We was going to drink mm-hmm. beer, eat chicken, and talk shit on the mic. That's what it was originally supposed to be. But getting all these fellas together just to mm-hmm. do game night or just like, you know, talk shit night. You got guys mm-hmm. who was like, yo, man, I don't know if I really want my whole real name associated with this. Can I get like a pseudonym or something? Or like, don't nobody know us. We ain't never did none of this shit. Like, we not out there like that, you know? But he like, man, I'm just saying, though, I got aspirations and goals and shit. And like, you know, trying to set up recording times and stuff, he was just like, mm-hmm. nah. And so what I ended up doing was I just said, fuck it. And did one. Like, I just said, fuck it, and just went out ahead and did it. And then it just became a thing where, like, the Span Report is what mm-hmm. it is. And now I don't, you know, like, I've gotten comfortable doing this shit mm-hmm. by myself. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if I could do, like, a pre-recorded show. Like, I do it live, and I'm comfortable doing it live. If I'm doing it just sitting here, I'm just like, man, something ain't right. You know, because it's become a part mm-hmm. of my routine doing this shit live. So it's mm-hmm. just like that whole thing of you were supposed to start this with somebody else. And then you looked up and, you know, circumstances changed up on you. I can totally relate mm-hmm. to that. I can totally relate mm-hmm. to that. Because, you know, mm-hmm. most people like the solo podcast and shit ain't easy.
At all.
That shit
At
is
all.
Not easy. You try like having a conversation with yourself because that's essentially what you're doing.
Right. Right. And you're like, how am I doing this? And everybody's like, you can talk for like 45 minutes. I'm like, yeah, if you give me enough information to talk about, yeah, I can.
Give me some
it comes easy.
Yeah, give me some shit to talk about. Like, I'll be like on my social media, like, okay, I'm gonna talk about that shit.
You're like, this going on the show. Put it right in the show notes.
I got some thoughts about this shit here. All right. That's funny. Let me. And that's kind of the process. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, man, that solo podcasting life, mm-hmm. it's not for everybody, for real. Now, you don't only have the Mocha Minutes podcast. You also have the Ratchet Auntie and Uncle's Hour.
Woo.
Now, are you over there with like a buddy network? What you doing over there, Stephanie?
The thing about this, it started out, again, organically. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, it was Jay, Ricky, and Asa. They came on one Sunday, and we had so much fun. And then we were just talking in the group chat the next day. We might have something. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is so much fun. And I'm like, I talk to y'all all the time. It's like, we can literally do this. And it's like every other week, and I just... And we literally pick one topic, literally one, and it snowballs into like six different other things mm-hmm. because it literally is just friends talking, and it can be about everything or anything or nothing. I think the episode from last week, yeah, we were going to talk about a whole lot of shit. We were going to talk about Liam Neeson. No, we ain't talking about none of that shit. We just, I was like, we had so much that we were going to talk about, but yeah. Nah, this is better.
It's been plenty of times where I'm like, you know what, man? I've been running my mouth for like an hour and 45 minutes. I'm tired. This shit gonna wait to the next show. Like,
right. I'm like, yeah, because we recorded last night mm-hmm. and we were talking about Steve Harvey and Monique. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this show's like gonna be like 2 hours. I'm like, because we could talk, but we were also talking about Stephanie's single life. So how about that?
Now, do you worry about, like, you know, being a long form podcast? Do you worry about, you know, length of the show? Because I've seen, you know, we're in some of the, you know, the, you know, podcasting groups and whatnot. And sometimes you'll see where folks are worried about, well, is our show too long? Is that something that you ever, you know, kind of worry about when you're doing the show, or you're cognizant of it while you're in the middle of doing the show?
I think I'm cognizant of it, but it literally took one, now mind you, you know, reviews of everything on iTunes. Somebody gave me a 3-star review, mind you, I'm saying 3-star, not 1-star, 3-star. And the critique was, the show is too long. 2 hours is way too long for a show. And it like fucked with me. I'm like, oh my God, is it too long? And I'm like, but I can't even think, when I listen back on the shows, I'm like, there's nothing that I want to cut out.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Everybody's like, but it's only 3 stars. I'm like, yeah, but I'm always wanting somebody to put 5 on it. So it's like, it literally messed with me. And I'm like, why is this messing with me?
You know what? I got a word for that. We got a word for it.
Oh, man. Hey.
Real talk. Because, like, you know, and I say this, I've said this before on the show, like, and this is why when I talk about the 5-star reviews and it only takes 2 minutes of your time and everything, like, the people who don't fuck with you will go out of their way to make sure that you know that they don't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you do enjoy something, by all means, man, let the folks know that you like you fucking with them and you rock with them. And, you know, especially if you want that to keep going. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's a whole lot of folks who probably stop podcasting because, like, they were like, yo, I'm putting it out into the void. I'm seeing downloads, but nobody's saying nothing. Mm-hmm. So, like, yo, like, just go ahead and like, just for 2 minutes, like, yo, I fuck with your shit. 5 stars.
And yeah,
you done probably made a motherfucker's day, like, just with that one little gesture. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, them 5-star reviews definitely go a long way. It really does. Now,
it really does.
Now, the you got a show with an ensemble.
And yes.
And you got to show
my booze and bays.
You got to show it yourself. Which one is harder to do?
You know, it honestly is the one with myself when I have a guest. What I love about having guests is that it always feels like it's a different conversation, because it depends on who it is. And then I also get to get fresh perspective. Not saying that with the ensemble that it's going to be like the same old thing every week, because it's not.
Right.
But I feel like now I'm starting to tailor, like, what I talk about to the guests that I have. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I don't want to bring on somebody, like, because I had Diamond Styles from Marsha's Plate. I'm like, I'm not going to sit and talk about a whole bunch of stories about trans people being murdered or shot or harmed. I'm like, no, we're going to talk about something else.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I feel like that's so disingenuous. I'm like, I'm not going to bring her on for that.
Yeah. And I think it's also a measure of, like, you know, for the most part, like, a lot of the people that I've had on my show have been people that I know listen to the show. So they kind of know what to expect when they come on. And, you know, we don't cut nothing out on the Spam Report. Like, what you get on the live feed,
that's it.
That's what you getting on the motherfucking, when that shit goes out, like, I ain't missing nothing. except maybe like the video and shit. Because sometimes, and this is one of the things that I really do love about doing this live on, like, how we were doing it on Crowdcast. I was doing it on YouTube and stuff. Like, there's a different element to the podcast where you can actually see what someone's reaction was when they were talking about this shit. You can see the passion in it. You can see the genuine shock of something that, you know, you read on the, like, a news story or a video or something like that. You can see all of that. So, like, I really do implore y'all, go ahead and join that Spam Report podcast group on Facebook so y'all can get all this shit too. You know what I'm saying?
Please do. It is hilarious. Between y'all and Cooking Gooch and my 40 acres. I can't with y'all.
Check it out. Cook was over here clowning. She was over here clowning.
I messaged her so much during y'all show. I was like, Cookie, what is going on? Whew, when she said he had childbearing hips, I was at my desk and I almost choked on my coffee. I said, shut up. I said, childbearing hips, I can't do this.
We got the sisters.
I can't do this today.
The sisters over here, and they're going to be doing yoga over the, by the Orisha Shrine. The
Orisha Shrine. Whole video. I was like, why? How does a school have a P.O. box and not a street address? Hey, y'all not paying attention? Well, that was the first thing. I'm like, P.O. box.
Well, the first thing that caught my eye was that nigga put that key in that door, but he didn't turn that motherfucking key.
It's like, shoot. I'm like, what, is the door open? Because I feel like keys usually turn.
Yeah, that motherfucker went straight to the Windows Movie Maker transition with the... There was no key turn. You just looked
and never closed no doors.
Never closed the door. That nigga was like,
did your mama teach you to close doors? Close your door. Let none the outside.
That motherfucker was filming a crime. That was breaking and entering, goddammit. That dude was supposed to be there.
That school ain't even done. I'm like, we built the school, but now we gotta furnish it. Y'all, I swear, his followers are boo-boo the fool.
Well,
because I can't.
I'll say this. He wasn't saying that he was gonna build a school. He's been trying to buy campuses, or at least he's been saying he's been trying to buy campuses from the beginning. Like, I remember at one point he was saying he was trying to buy, like, St. Paul's College or something like that. I think it's a closed down university or something like that. And he was trying to buy that. That's where the number of $1 million came from, that he was trying to buy that. And, you know, that's when trifling black people, because he wasn't getting his money and the whole shit. But, that dude don't own that building. That's been found out.
Oh no. That's probably why he filmed it. He probably filmed it at like 7 a.m. because he know nobody's going to be out there. So he's like, let's film this really quick.
It'd have been
before
real,
somebody get wise.
It'd have been real funny if, you know, that part where he was talking to old boy on the street. He was like, yeah, man, you know, we gonna make Wilmington, Delaware to black people with Washington, D.C. And what if that nigga just hit him with the...
Nigga, please.
Like, who are you?
Yeah, man.
What are you talking about?
Like, come on, bro. Like, come on.
Man.
But yeah, man.
Jonathan the scammer. Not even Joanne. Jonathan.
That guy, man. But it's time for our news, y'all. All right. We got some good news to start off.
Yay.
We got some good news. Weed smokers rejoice. All right. New York City is considering a ban on pre-employment marijuana tests. Oh, shit. Ooh. Y'all ain't got to take the drug test no more, man. We're going to read the story here. This comes out of, ironically, Fox News. Okay.
Oh, boy.
This says New York City lawmakers are considering a proposal that would prohibit the drug testing by companies for marijuana as a requirement to be hired. Jermaine Williams is sponsoring the legislation that is set to be introduced on Wednesday. It would ban companies in the city from testing for THC, the active ingredient in marijuana. Exceptions would be made for safety and security sensitive jobs like the NYPD and those tied to a federal or state contract or grant. Kind of like my job. The law would go into effect 1 year after its approval. New York City has been loosening marijuana rules. Starting in September, the New York Police Department started to issue criminal summonses to most people caught smoking marijuana in public instead of arresting them. People with summonses will have to go to court and pay a $100 fine. A month earlier, the Manhattan District Attorney stopped prosecuting most low-level marijuana cases. And in January 2019, Governor Andrew Cuomo proposed legalizing recreational marijuana statewide. Data shows that the most arrests for marijuana crimes occur in predominantly minority neighborhoods, despite studies that show people of all races use the drug with equal frequency. So, what you thinking about, you know, them relaxing those employment requirements in the state of New York for the wacky tobacco?
Wacky tobacco. Let me tell y'all something. Still drug test them fucking cops. Let me tell you that. Yeah. But everybody else, I'm like, why do you care? First of all, people who smoke weed are a lot more mellow. I feel like I'd get better customer service. I don't see a downside to this. I don't. But they be mellow as shit. Cool as hell. I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
I'll always come back.
You know, it's been interesting with the new weed laws and stuff, because you know they mm-hmm. actually did legalize recreational use of marijuana here in Michigan, and mm. that went into effect this year. We voted on that in November. And mm-hmm. one of the first things my employer did was they put out a memorandum like, look here, we are federally mandated. Y'all asses will still be fired if you.
Well, oh my God!
Maybe not fired.
Don't even think about it. Well,
They'll put you in a treatment program because we are unionized. So they'll put you in a treatment program or whatever. But I think it's good, man. But they kind of relaxing this because, again, like that article did say, most of the people that are being prosecuted for marijuana possession or marijuana consumption are usually mm-hmm. people of color, and it's across mm-hmm. the board. Where with marijuana usage, like there was the image of Miley Cyrus's mama with a fucking safe full of weed. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. a safe full.
And don't how white of you to just post that on social media? I think this image is old, like as if it fucking matters.
I mean,
it's like
I had a picture like that on social media, I'm pretty sure I will be getting a knock on the door, not from the local police, but the feds might come see about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, what you
doing? Hey there, Span. See, you like to take photos.
Not only do you like
to get in our car?
Not only see you like to take photos, I see you like to talk shit about Trump. All right. All right. Well, check this out. We have a sedan out here waiting on you. You will be driven. You have a chauffeur. I mean, yeah, there's a privacy fence in between the two of you.
And look, I even got you some jewelry because I'm classy.
Oh man, you got these nice, stainless steel bracelets that we got for you. Oh man, we got a nice orange jumpsuit for your ass, man. You're gonna be looking good out here in the street.
I am not a cheap date.
It's sort of like a romper. You know what I'm saying? You can tighten that motherfucker up around the middle if you want to. Nah. I take that back because you might try to hurt yourself. No, let's not do that.
No. They'll get you a Burberry hoodie to go with it. Don't worry.
Fucking Burberry.
Fucking like, Burberry. Do you know how many niggas wear Burberry cologne? They're like, fuck this.
Oh, man. Like, I remember when Burberry was like, what was it? The early 2000s when Burberry was fucking everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like,
everywhere. Everywhere.
Everybody had on fucking Burberry jumpsuits, Burberry short sets.
They got the damn trench coats.
They got the Air Force Ones. Have mercy. Air Force Ones fucking customized with Burberry swooshes and shit.
Right. They're like, what you got? Yeah, nigga, this the new Burberry. What you smell good? Yeah, it's this new Burberry.
That shit was crazy. But that's one story we got in the news. Now, another story that we got in the news, as a matter of fact, I'm going to pull this up because this is actually a video. So I'm going to pull this up so that we can all check this out. But it's an update on this young Jussie Smollett case.
Oh, boy.
Smollett. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that dude's name.
Smollett?
Oh, okay. Smollett. I've been saying Smollett the whole time. I'm fucking that man's name up. My bad, man. Like, I'll say that like he's watching this shit, but
you're like, I'm sorry, sir. My bad, dude. I think he got bigger problems at this point.
Yeah. But we're gonna listen to this. Actually comes from ABC News. So this is supposedly a new twist in the case as police search for a motive. So check this out, y'all.
Now to what could be a major development in the Jussie Smollett case. Police are telling ABC News a potential motive is emerging if Smollett did indeed stage that attack. Eva Pilgrim is in Chicago with those new details. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning, Michael. A lot of questions this morning. Chicago police now saying they urgently want to speak with Jussie Smollett again.
This morning, a law enforcement source telling ABC News that the brothers, questioned for roles in the alleged attack on Empire star Jussie Smollett, told authorities he staged it all, upset over a threatening letter sent to Empire Chicago studio on January 22nd, saying it did not receive enough attention. Detectives are actively investigating the allegation but have not confirmed it to be true. Smollett telling us last week about that letter that included racist and homophobic threats.
On the letter, it had a stick figure hanging from a tree with a gun pointing towards it, with the words that said, Smollett Jussie, you will die black. There was no address, but the return address said in big red, caps, MAGA. Did I make that up too?
Police confirming the men who have since been questioned and released have a relationship with Smollett. One even appeared as an extra on Empire.
If there's any justice, we'll have that conversation.
Authorities tell us the brothers claim they were paid by the actor to orchestrate and stage the racist, homophobic assault Smollett reported last month. Now, the two brothers are speaking out for the first time, telling Chicago's WBBM, "We are not racist, we are not homophobic, and we are not anti-Trump. We were born and raised in Chicago and are American citizens." Smollett's defense attorney telling ABC News, Jussie Smollett,
"They did that shit. When they said, we ain't anti-Trump, fuck y'all. They did that shit."
Oh, yeah. They I'm like, it. I'm sorry.
They did it.
You involved.
Let me let that finish. That video finish.
Is angered and devastated by recent reports that the perpetrators are individuals he is familiar with. He has now been further victimized by claims attributed to these alleged perpetrators that Jussie played a role in his own attack. Nothing is further from the truth, and anyone claiming otherwise is lying.
Now, Chicago police tell us they are hopeful that Smollett will come in the next few days to talk. His team telling us they are in communication with authorities, guys.
They very much want to talk to him.
Yeah, an investigation is intensifying.
All right. So, a couple things, right? Because I talked about this Thursday. I actually, like, you know what? I was like, you know what? I need to do a whole last show because I got so many thoughts about this shit. So I ended up, like, doing an extra show Thursday, the one you were actually supposed to be on, right?
Yeah.
You were supposed to be here Thursday. But so Thursday, you know, I was talking about how I didn't understand, like, you know, the level of joy some of our people would like having in whether or not like this being a hoax, right? Their investment in this being a hoax. I didn't understand it. Like, I completely understand why a Trump supporter would be, like, wanting this to be a hoax. I completely understand why, you know, right-wing Republican whatever would want for this to be a hoax because he implicated them in the attack, right? I didn't understand some of, like, black people's want of this to be a hoax other than the fact that, like, you know, I feel like there's some homophobia attached to that. But and also recognizing that some of the people that I saw who were talking about this being a hoax from the very beginning, these are some of the same people who believe that Bill Cosby was going to buy NBC, that R. Kelly, these girls are just a little bit too fast. It's very fucking consistent, you know, with the types of people who were just like from the gate, this was some bullshit, right? The other part about it is, if it were true that this dude did set him, you know, orchestrate this entire thing, I think it's fucked up on a couple different levels. One, you call into question anybody who's ever really had anything real happen to them, because now it's going to be so much harder for them to actually tell their story without being met with this condescending skepticism about what they're, you know, telling their experience. And then I don't understand what you have to gain by also doing this. That's the part that I couldn't understand. Like, what did he have to gain by that? What do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
So the first thing when you said, I didn't understand, I'm like, I understood, because homophobia is something that we don't want to talk about in our own community. We just want to say, oh, that's something that white people do, as if we don't. And I think a lot of people just wanted to discredit it, because just like with black women, you don't care about black queer people. You just don't. So there are people who, one, when this happened, they were so ready to focus on the black part, but not the queer part, because that was easiest to do. Mm. It's like, oh no, man, we don't care about this queer part. I'm like, but the black part we do care about. And so when it comes to lying, it's interesting. Like, because it's dumb to lie. But even if he staged this, this is a dumbass lie for no apparent reason, because nobody's negating the letter. So somebody actually did send him threats.
Yeah.
So this part of the attack is just kind of like, you go, but why would he do that? And the two dudes like, oh yeah, he told us to do it. Why would they say, oh no, we just did this on our own?
Yeah.
It's like, of course they're going to say, oh yeah, he did it. I'm like, he told us to do it. I am innocent. I just did what I was told.
Well, that's the part that doesn't really make sense to me either, right? So if those dudes have implicated Jussie in his own attack,
mm-hmm.
you just turn around like and let them go, right? Like, they, if this is a false police report, like a hate crime or whatever, they were accessories in perpetrating this crime.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all done let them go. Like, all right, so they said this dude, he paid us monies to do that, but mm-hmm. somehow they just like kind of off scot-free. The other part that I think is very fucked up about this entire thing is like this investigation is messy as all hell.
So, like, all of a sudden, y'all got all these leaks from the Chicago PD. Everybody, we got all these sources. This is the same Chicago PD that covered up a whole-ass murder. And everybody's like, oh, see? Chicago PD said, look, y'all, we believe them. We're believing them now? Oh, I missed the memo. Was that at the Black people meeting? Did y'all discuss that? Maybe it was when I got to the meeting late, so I missed that part. We now listening to the cops now.
Well,
any other time, y'all like, no, they lie. We don't trust no cops. Now all of a sudden, y'all like, oh, the cops said, so it must be true. Because you didn't want it to be true in the first place. Because you don't, it's somebody that you don't care about. And I've been saying this since day one. If Jussie Smollett was a straight Black man, y'all wouldn't be doing this.
Oh, man, they'd be
like, you wouldn't.
They'd be up in
they'd
the
be like, oh, no.
They'd be up in the streets on they'd be up in the streets on behalf of him. They'd also be mm-hmm. wondering why the Chicago police are leaking so much information or supposedly mm-hmm. leaking details about the case out to the media, right? Because you got two different stories coming out from the Chicago police. You got the Chicago police official story, which is Jussie Smollett is still being considered a victim in this case. And then there's the mm-hmm. unofficial story that we get from the sources that are saying, yeah, we're looking at Jussie Smollett as probably the perpetrator behind his own assault. And
yeah,
like that's the thing. It's like, yo, it's so many different stories coming out, so many different details. Before it was like, yo, it's as if they want to put out. I don't know. Shit, I lost my motherfucking train of thought. It's almost as if they kind of just want to like. Do away with him in a sense like, okay, we can't really prove what happened to him. Maybe we can get some sort of resolution to this by pinning this mm-hmm. on him. Again, this is the Chicago police. I'm speculating just like everybody else now, which I kind of hate because most of this case really has been speculation outside of the official word of this dude is still a victim in this. Like, most of everything mm-hmm. else has been speculation. Sources within the department are saying this, while the official word is something different. It's just messy as hell, and now I'm on here on my own show speculating about the Chicago police setting this nigga up. I hate the fucking police, man.
And that's the problem. It's kind of like, it's always going to be speculation. I find it interesting that this happened in January. It is now February. All of a sudden, it's like, this is a hoax. I'm like, so I feel like hoaxes are usually, like, when you see people faking shit for social media, usually that's dispelled in like a couple of days. It don't take months and months and months and months for it to happen, or weeks. And now it's like, oh no, it's a hoax because the sources from the Chicago, I'm like, the sources from the police, not the police themselves, not the, even like the state's attorney is recusing herself, which doesn't make any sense to me, but
that kind of okay. Right before we went on,
I'm like, what? I'm like, why would she not want to do that? And I remember when this first came out, one of his neighbors said, I remember seeing two redneck guys outside of the building. I went to go walk my dog. I came back in and they're like, oh, he got attacked. It's like, oh, I remember seeing somebody. All of a sudden, you don't see that woman no more. Mm-hmm. You didn't really get like identify her, but still. So it's too many stories. And then it becomes like, now we can't believe victims. Y'all didn't believe victims in the first place. Go off, sis.
Yeah, well, not
y'all didn't care.
Just you know, and I know this is just like anecdotally and shit, but just based on my own experience with the Chicago Police Department, my own mm-hmm. experience with that police department, I was arrested in Chicago for a handgun supposedly in my car. They went before a judge and told a judge that they found a gun in my car with me. That gun was at my grandma's house. And they went and got the gun from my grandma's house only because I told them that the gun was at my grandma's house. So, yeah, if they gonna do that, and if they gonna try to cover up the killing of Laquan McDonald And if they're going to have black sites where they take, you know, prisoners to interrogate them with, if they're going to be instrumental in the murder of Fred Hampton, just saying,
they're not very credible. If y'all are saying that Jussie is not credible, then they're not credible either.
But here's the thing too, because I don't want this to be misconstrued. Like, yeah, the official word, like with Span, you saying they, you know, like, you're not really finding the police credible, but you're going to take the official word. I'm just saying, I find it real unscrupulous for the Chicago police to have so many leaks on this particular case. That's what I'm saying.
Way too many. All of a sudden, it's like, y'all like an old building in the projects. Leaky as hell.
Leaky as hell.
I'm sorry. I'm Ava DuVernay. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't just go up. Well, case closed. No, because I'm sorry. I'm still going to believe victims.
Yeah.
He says something happened to him. I'm sorry. I usually don't die on hills.
Until it's proven that he hasn't, or until it's proven that he was instrumental in that, I'm riding with the fact that dude is a victim until something is proven otherwise. I'm not in a rush to be like, well, that shit was a hoax. I mean, it doesn't look good for him, but at the same time, I'm not in a rush. Like, I'm not invested in that dude being made out to be a liar. That's just
right.
I'm not invested.
You're not invested on being right either. I'm like, I don't care if I'm right or wrong, because one, this ain't my life.
Yeah.
This is his life. So I don't care if I'm right or I don't care if I'm wrong. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, this only really affects him.
That's true.
That's just ridiculous. Yep. It's like, ugh.
But yeah, that's enough for Jussie Smollett. I've been talking about this dude for a while. We got some more news.
I'm being serious. I have literally been avoiding him. I'm like, I'm going to wait.
But you know what? Like, it's hard to avoid. It's hard to avoid because there's always something new coming out, and it's always up and down your time.
That tip is unfounded. So where the hell is it coming from? Because what's really fucked up about this? The quote unquote leaks and the dispelling of the story started with Breitbart and Fox News.
Yeah.
Y'all on the same side as those niggas?
That's the other thing that I really don't fucking understand. It's like, why y'all are so like hyped up for this to be a lie, but then I'm like, yo, y'all do realize who been pumping out these anti-Jussie Smollett stories? Like Breitbart got
from
on
day
this.
One.
The Blaze got on this. Fucking Donald Trump Jr. was just on Twitter talking about this being. Mm-hmm. But again, I get why they would be invested in proving why Jussie Smollett was doing was a hoax. I get why they would be invested. I did not understand why we were so invested. That was the part that was like, man, wait, nigga, what are y'all doing?
It's like, wait, just like, it's like, if you were like, I have doubts, keep them to yourself. Yeah. Just keep them to yourself. If that's how you feel. But, and it's like, if you feel like this is going to like, oh, then we can't just trust victims. I'm like, there are so many, for every 20, 30 sexual assaults, two of them are fake. It doesn't stop them from happening. It doesn't stop the fact that this, what happened allegedly to Jussie, happened to somebody else. Same time around Jussie got attacked, a trans woman in Houston got shot. And she was fighting for her life.
Yeah.
Like, stop acting like this didn't happen. There were like a number of black trans women killed at the beginning of this year. I'm like, stop acting like this stuff don't happen. It's not going to stop it from happening. But if it takes one famous black queer man for you to just go, I don't trust any queer people, you didn't trust them in the first place.
Yep. That's what it is. So let's move on. We got another.
Yeah, I know. We getting angry.
Let's move on. Well, I don't know if this is going to make you angry or like happy or cheerful or sad or amused or whatever the fuck, but yo, Bernie Sanders has decided he's going to run for president again. Oh, man.
Oh, keep it.
See, this is why y'all need to be watching live. Y'all should have seen that motherfucking eye roll, man.
keep it. Oh, no. Man. He is 77 fucking years old, and he is still not a Democrat.
Don't be ageist, girl. Don't be ageist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be ageist.
Yeah, that's right. I need 76-year-old white men to run my country, not 77. I draw the fucking line at 77.
Oh, man. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Reuters. It says, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, the Vermont progressive, whose 2016 White House campaign garnered a fervent grassroots support and pushed the Democratic Party sharply to the left, said on Tuesday he would again seek the party's presidential nomination in 2020. Sanders, 77, announced his candidacy in an email to supporters, vowing to build a vast movement to confront the special interests that he said dominate government and politics. Sanders said he would push for many of the same issues that powered his 2016 run and resonated with younger voters, including universal health care, raising the hourly minimum wage to $15, and free public college tuition. Says our campaign is about creating a government and economy that works for the many, not just the few, Sanders said, asking for 1 million people to sign up to kick off his bid. Sanders' insurgent 2016 candidacy against frontrunner Hillary Clinton ended up capturing 23 state nominating contests, but generated tension between the party's establishment and liberal wings that split the Democrats in 2016 and still plagues the party. It certainly fucking does. Said he joins an already crowded Democratic race featuring candidates touting many of the ideas he brought into the party mainstream. They include fellow senators Cory Booker of New Jersey, Kamala Harris of California, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts. Sanders has been among the leaders in early opinion polls of prospective 2020 Democratic candidates, but a broad range of progressive candidates couldn't make it harder for him to stand out and generate the same level of support as 4 years ago. So, I know you kind of already, like, talked about your disdain for this man for a second here. But do you think that Bernie Sanders actually has a shot at winning this 2020 nomination?
No. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be that flat. Hell no.
Well, I'm going to be better.
However.
I'm going to be harder than that, though.
It's not never. Not never.
I'm sorry. I'm like, he could beat Mama Hillary in her kitten heels, and you think he going to be beating all these other people? Let Stacey say she running. Fuck that. Let Joe Biden say he running, because he ain't said shit yet. I'm waiting for his ass, because I'm like, oh, he coming.
Joe Biden.
Let Joe say.
Joe Biden's going to run.
Joe Biden.
And I said this two years ago.
Bernie right out the border.
I said this 2 years ago. Joe Biden's going to run. And the reason why, like, it's weird. Like, MSNBC set it up 2 years ago. They were running like a promotional kind of Joe Biden, like, what would you call it? Like a retrospective, like a reflective. Like, they were like really profiling Joe Biden really fucking glowingly on MSNBC. And I'm like, yeah. And this was right after the 2016, election. And I said, yeah, they're setting that dude up for a run right now. It's already like in the cards. They're setting that guy up for a run. He wants to run. I think the only reason why he did not run was because of the fact he was still mourning the son, the death of his son.
Yeah.
Around the time.
Didn't want the sympathy vote, which I get.
So, but the thing about it though is like, even with him running, like, people are going to, it's going to be nasty, because people are going to bring up, you know, the way he handled the Anita Hill hearings when the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings, and how Anita Hill was treated during that. People are going to remember that Joe Biden in the 2008 primary wasn't even a top candidate even then. Like, I think Joe Biden has kind of been ingratiated amongst a lot of folks because of his proximity to Barack Obama. But I think, Joe Biden, although, like, we talk about, Bernie Sanders being 77, like, Joe Biden ain't no spring chicken either. You know, like, no. These are both two old white men. So I think that although Joe Biden would probably be a front runner, I don't even know if he would come away with the nomination in the Democratic Party. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, because I've been watching a lot of folks been coming at Cory Booker and coming at Kamala Harris. Some, and they've been talking about them not having an agenda for black voters or black agenda. They've been talking this noise. I want to see, I really do want to see how they reconcile that with their standing for Bernie, because they've been standing for Bernie since 2016.
Brother Bernie.
There's been a picture of Kamala Harris sitting in a restaurant, putting hot sauce on something, And they was like, yo, is she really out here pandering to black people like this? Like, yo, every fucking table in that restaurant had hot sauce on it, dog.
Hot sauce on it. I'm like, hello?
What are y'all doing?
What barbecue place don't have hot sauce? What the fuck are you talking about? It's like, what? Are y'all okay? Are y'all really okay? It's like, I don't understand. And the bad part about all of this, mm-hmm. everybody has their qualms about all the different candidates. Yep. Everybody. However, I'm sorry. I'm voting for whoever the fuck we have. I'm sorry. I cannot vote. I can't. I'm like, look at what we have in the White House.
And that's, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I think what we do now is that we write off, like, we erode all of the goodwill of all of the candidates. So by the time 2020 comes mm-hmm. around, like, it's going to be so much shit that you don't like about this motherfucker. By the time it comes mm-hmm. time to vote for him, you're like, man, I really don't want to vote for this motherfucker, but fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like right. you feel like you right. don't really have much of a choice. And so you start, it's as if people haven't learned from what happened in 2016. We're watching the same fucking movie play again. It's a goddamn sequel. We're watching this shit happen again. So, like, remember, we've seen stories come out that, you know, Russians were influential in, you know, mm-hmm. in the campaign, in, like, what was that? Troll farms, right? They had troll farms, and they mm-hmm. would like kind of infiltrate movements. They would, you know, impersonate certain organizations, and they would impersonate certain, mm-hmm. you know, like, they ingratiated themselves and they spread out misinformation to a lot of people, black folks included. It wasn't just Trump supporters, mm-hmm. black folks included. And so what they did was, like, yo, they were like, yo, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, they kind of ingratiated themselves into some of that. Even with mm-hmm. the hoteps, they ingratiated themselves into some of that. You even saw some hoteps kind of crossing over and talking about they want to get with the alt-right. It was crazy, like, watching mm-hmm. that shit happen. Crazy watching that shit happen. And even now, what you're seeing is they've got this thing where they call it, what's that, ADOS? Like, American descendants of slaves, right? This is some shit that just came out. Yes, right. I first saw this on...
I saw ADOS and I went, what the hell is that?
I first saw this on YouTube, right? A lot of hoteps on YouTube are using this, right? Now, on YouTube, you think it's a whole ass movement because they say it's a whole ass movement. Even the dude who mm-hmm. says he created it, like, I'm the one that created it. Because what made it go big was, I believe it was Joy Ann Reid and Simone Sanders were both kind of dismissive of it. And so they were like, yo, this mm-hmm. is a real legitimate movement. Y'all need to pay attention to us and everything else. We are not Russian bots. Because that was one of the criticisms, that they were Russian bots.
Okay.
But what I couldn't understand was, why do y'all believe that y'all couldn't be infiltrated with this hashtag? Because everybody has access to a hashtag. Why don't you? Right. Why do you think that your hashtag?
There's no password on a hashtag.
Could not
be used. Put your black fingerprint on it.
Yeah. Like, why do you think your hashtag couldn't be used for nefarious means to further spread misinformation and propaganda? And so we're mm-hmm. seeing this again. It's happening again. And nobody's fucking taking heed to it. It's like, it's frustrating when you're watching it in real time, especially if you've seen this shit already. You're like, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe these niggas are doing this again.
It's like, y'all doing this again. I'm so tired. I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm going to have to mute some words on Twitter. I'm like, I'm going to have to mute President, Bernie, voting 2020. I'm like, it's a growing ass list. I'm like, I gotta mute some stuff because this is just tiresome. I'm like, just give me the candidate.
Your Twitter feed gonna be full.
Just give me your fighter. Is it Raiden? Is it Sub-Zero? Who is my fighter?
You gonna have tumbleweeds going down your timeline, man.
Exactly. It's going to be that and six brown chicks. That's it. Tumbleweeds and six brown chicks.
You muted every goddamn thing. Just like, I can't take this shit no more. Like, man, look at the kittens. Look at the kittens. Those are some cute kittens, man.
I'm following so many kitten and puppy and animal Twitter. I'm like, I'm in puppy Twitter right now. I'm like, look, I got to go back. I'm in Steven Universe Twitter. I'm like, I can't do this. Let me just look at these stills from Steven Universe because I can't. Y'all are making me so, so tired. It's like just drained. Tied. T-I-E-D. Tied.
Not tied.
I can't even like muster an R in my tired. I'm tired.
All right. So, hey, y'all. That's been the news, y'all. All right, that was the news, but y'all know what comes after that shit.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, so in blue blazes, we got some R. Kelly news, man. R. Kelly is back on here. I would have put this in the news, but yo, what the fuck is going on with R. Kelly? So, we get in a story here. This comes out of thegrio.com. Says Michael Avenatti reveals that there is a third sex tape showing R. Kelly and an underage girl. So, yeah, man, that deserves a... I gotta come up with another.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. So, check this out. We're gonna read the story. Like I said, this comes out of the Grio. It says, when Michael Avenatti announced last week that he had possession of a sex tape that allegedly showed R. Kelly having sex with an underage girl, little did we know that the celebrity attorney had even more tea to spill. Avenatti took the... Yeah, they fucked me up with that one. I wasn't ready. Avenatti took to Twitter on Saturday to confirm that a third sex tape exists of the R&B hitmaker sexually abusing a minor female. Update. We have become aware of the existence of a third tape that allegedly shows further acts of sexual abuse of an underage girl by R. Kelly, which we are presently working to recover and turn over to law enforcement, Avenatti tweeted. The news comes after Avenatti announced that he turned over a newly surfaced sex tape to the Cook County State's Attorney's Office in Chicago that could soon lead to an indictment of Kelly in Illinois. Both tapes are not the same as the infamous 27-minute footage from 2002, which allegedly showed him urinating on a teen girl believed to be 14 years old. Kelly is charged with 14 counts of child pornography in 2008, but was found not guilty on all counts. Mr. Avenatti, best known for representing porn star Stormy Daniels in the lawsuit against Dr. Donald Trump, tweeted on Thursday that he's been working overtime to bring down the superstar since April, noting that he plans to give all evidence to Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox. We will continue to work tirelessly to ensure that this predator is brought to justice, he tweeted. As a father of two teenage girls myself, I have the utmost faith and confidence in Ms. Fox and her staff to ensure justice is done. So, do you think this is what's going to get R. Kelly about the paint?
I am cautiously optimistic, but that he's been slippery for 20 something years. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's a VHS tape, as if in the documentary they didn't say it was a bag full of tapes. Where's the bag? Y'all slipping one, y'all like sneaking one little tape, like, hold on, I got another one for you here. It's like it's a whole bag of VHS tapes. That's when you know this is like so fucked up. Who the hell still has a VCR? I want to know how y'all view this. I'm like, y'all have a VCR in this economy?
You'd be surprised as to people who might still have a TV with the DVD and the VCR combo still on that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like the first flat screens. Remember the first flat screens with the DVR, the DVD,
and they had the VHS on them?
Like they was built into the TV? Like, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Somebody still got those. I mean, shit.
That's true.
Record players is coming back. Niggas is talking about they got vinyl now. Like I thought we got
That vinyl movement is huge.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. The motherfuckers,
I got to clean my vinyls. You got to clean your what?
They going retro. I'm saying. Like,
wow.
Laserdisc going to come back pretty soon.
Betamax. Woo, Betamax on deck.
Man. Hey, that's why I was like, yo, what in the Betamax when we watched Umar Johnson's video? But, no, with this shit here, though, here's the thing. I'm a little bit torn here. And y'all know my disdain for R. Kelly's bitch ass. Like, I don't even gotta rehash that. But this is Michael Avenatti, dude. And I'm wondering how much of this is him trying to keep his own name in the news. Because I remember when he was I believe he still is Stormy Daniels' attorney. I forget what exactly she was suing Donald Trump for, but he was contemplating he was contemplating running for president. He had openly talked about possibly running for president of the United States. And I remember when he said that, I was like, yo, man, you're doing too much. Just represent your motherfucking client. And it was as if he was using Stormy Daniels' case to elevate himself. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, here's something that I'm an adversary of the president. My name is everywhere. I'm going on The View. I'm going on CNN. People know who I am now. And here we have another story where R. Kelly has been heavy in the news as of late with that documentary coming mm-hmm. out, and people become much more aware of what R. Kelly has been accused of and what he's been getting away with and everything. Here's an opportunity for me to keep my name in the news, especially mm-hmm. considering, they're talking about, you know, who's going to jump into this presidential race. I remember when Michael Avenatti was talking about what the Democratic candidate should be a white male, and this was like maybe 2 months ago, and they actually I think they asked Kamala Harris about that on the Breakfast Club on that interview where they were talking about whether or not you know, everybody got caught up trying to figure out whether or not she was smoking weed while listening to Tupac and Snoop. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. But yeah, like I remember they kind of spoke on, I'm sorry, it wasn't the Breakfast Club. It was her town hall on CNN where that suggestion was made. Somebody asked her the question about whether or not it should be a white male who is the presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. And it was Michael Avenatti who said that shit. So it's something about Michael Avenatti that I'm just not, I mean, if Michael Avenatti is the dude that brings R. Kelly down, then fine. But I'm just like kind of, you know, I'm kind of iffy on that dude's motivations, man. I'm just like, I don't know, mm-hmm. man. Is this dude just like kind of, He kind of like something about that motherfucker. I ain't really
slimy as hell.
Yeah, it's something about.
And you know, as in the words of Sheba Sheree, win a case because you didn't win her case either.
No, he didn't. He did not, and she's on the hook.
You for did that not man's win the case. Fees. I'm like,
Yeah, she's on the hook for that man's for Donald Trump's legal fees. So mm-hmm. how the fuck do you like that? Yeah, something about Avenatti. I really don't trust him, but that's in Blue Blazes. The other thing that's in Blue Blazes, and we kind of alluded to this shit earlier, and this is actually the show art for the show tonight.
Oh, boy.
Burberry issues an apology after featuring a hoodie with a noose around the fucking neck.
Now y'all just dumb as hell. It's like, I don't know how this got past anybody. I'm like, look, I got an idea for a hoodie. We're going to put a noose around it. Genius. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
We're going to read this story. Like, this comes out of Baller Alert is where we're getting our news right now, y'all. So
oh, boy.
This out of Baller Alert. It says the fashion company Burberry is apologizing after it featured a hoodie with a noose around the neck around the neck during the Sunday show for the brand's Autumn Winter 2019 collection at London Fashion Week. We are deeply sorry for the distress caused by one of the products that featured in our AW 2019 runway collection, Tempest. Burberry Chief Executive Officer Marco Gobetti said in a statement provided to CNN in High Snobbery. Though the design was inspired by the marine theme that ran throughout the collection, it was insensitive and we made a mistake, he said in the statement. The model who wore the hoodie, Liz Kennedy, took to Instagram to shame the fashion brand for their tone-deaf actions, saying that she was ashamed to have been a part of the show. Wait a fucking minute.
What?
Wait a fucking minute. She continues.
What?
Suicide is not fashion, she wrote on an Instagram post. It is not glamorous or nor edgy, and since the show is dedicated to the youth expressing their voice, here I go. Kennedy then went after Chief Creative Officer of the brand, Rico Tisci. Ricardo Tisci and everyone at Burberry is beyond me. How you could let a look resembling a noose hanging from a neck out on the runway, she wrote. How could anyone overlook this and think it would be okay to do this, especially in a line dedicated to young girls and youth, the impressionable youth? So, check this out, man.
I laugh every time. It doesn't matter. Listen, I'm going to crack the fuck up.
Listen, you wore that shit and you saw that there was a noose around your neck before you walked out on that motherfucking runway. How in the fuck are you now like calling out the creative director and calling out like the Burberry brand and shit? Like, yo, you are complicit in this shit too, man. You knew what you was wearing. You didn't look at that shit like, hey man, what the fuck is this?
Like,
What the fuck is this?
But I like how they're like going, suicide isn't.
Yeah, she totally down.
Suicide isn't funny. Out. And I'm like, so we're not talking about lynching?
Hold on.
We're not talking about that part.
Hold on. She actually did. She goes on to say, Kennedy went on to express how the hoodie plays on the historical racial violence against black people. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of ways to tie a rope, and they chose to tie it like a noose, completely ignoring the fact that it was hanging around her neck. You fucking wore it.
You don't think you could have... I have seen, like, you've seen, like, fashion shows where, like, they undo the clothes and everything. You don't think you could have just, you know, just undid the rope? And let it lay, because then nobody would have noticed that.
Like I said, for fuck's sake, man. Like, this whole month. For fuck's sake.
Just, you know.
You got the shit going on in Virginia.
Put it in rice.
You got the shit in Virginia with, you know, Northrop and what's the vice governor? Fairfax. And the blackface with the attorney general. You got fucking Gucci. You got Burberry. You got Prada. Let me take these motherfuckers off. You got Prada. You got all.
Hold on. Let me be real.
You got all these motherfuckers out here with this shit. Like, all this month, man. It's like, god damn, man.
It's like, what else? You got kids in my fucking state giving out golden N-word passes.
See, now.
And they, and them. Fuckers ain't even clever. They literally just put N-word over ticket and left everything else in the Willy Wonka golden ticket on there. I'm like, see, if y'all were really fucking smart, which you're not, you would have actually tailed it to your, like, stupid ass. Let me see if I can use the N-word passes. If you a G, you write nigga on it, but you not a G. You not smart and you not a G. So just take you and your piss poor ass Photoshop. It's like, oh, y'all not even clever with this. This is just dumb.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. This whole month has been fucking terrible. This year, 2019, been on some bullshit. I should break that. 2019, you on some bullshit. But yeah.
Complete. Hey,
that has been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right. Now, y'all thought we've been fucking with y'all up to this point. We ain't even
100.
Got...
Oh, sorry, wrong show.
Wrong show. And I love them.
Ooh, wrong show.
But y'all know what time.
But 100.
That white man love this motherfucking country, man.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me think of college. Like, I was an RA, and we had to do, like, bulletin boards. I printed out the lyrics to this song. I never heard that song. And I'm like, oh, proud to be American. Let me put that still on my nice little patriotic board. Mm. Now I hear that song. It's like, fuck this song.
You almost made me sit up on beer.
Like, you stole this land. I love this land that you stole, bitch.
That don't mean I don't love it. I love it. I mean, I stole it, but shit, I still like this motherfucker, man.
I love it. You know, man, I stole this, but I love it, though.
You know how many motherfuckers walking around with dogs they stole, but they love the shit out that dog?
I love my Yorkie that you stole. Yeah, I love them, though.
I'm just saying. Dog that used to be Pinky. Now his name is like, cocaine or some shit like that. Like, yo, cocaine, you know what I'm saying? Oh, man.
But dog got... looking all confused, like, who are you talking to?
I don't know who the fuck.
My name is Pinky.
Hey, man, where my mom at? You don't even smell like her. What is this aroma in the air? I ain't used to this.
It's like, when are we going home? Because this place is strange.
This ain't it. I eat Caesar dog food. The one with the white smiling dog on the phone. That dog look happy as shit. I'd be like, man, that's a happy ass dog. Oh man, but
this must be good food.
It gotta be. Cause I know that Caesar shit. I don't even buy the dog food. But I think Caesar probably like $10 a can or some shit. I don't know.
Really?
I'm just speculating. I don't know. That's what's wrong with speculating. I don't know. I'm just saying that shit probably $10.
Keisha don't eat that.
Huh?
Keisha don't eat that.
Nah, Keisha ain't been eating no. She ain't had no season. At least not yet, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh. At least not yet. You know what I'm saying? Keisha kind of. Hey, Keisha kind of fancy, man. Keisha got all little wardrobe and that thing, man. Keisha.
I mean, she is the Blue Ivy. She's like, hello. I'm just saying. Hello, servant. Okay. Get my food.
Indeed. Keisha done already be like, you know, I can get used to this. You know, this is nice. Right. Shit, y'all got cable? So, yeah. Oh, man, we shouldn't be laughing right now, though. Because this story is kind of serious. Corinne Gaines. Her family was awarded $37 million after her death. And a judge in, what's this, Baltimore County has actually overturned the $37 million that was due to her family. Actually, it was more like,
oh, man, hey.
As a matter of fact, there's video associated with this, so let me go ahead and pull this video up and we can watch this together. There we go. And boom. Hey, where's the sound? I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything either.
Fuck it. I'll read the article. It says the judge is overturned.
It's so bad. We're not supposed to be laughing. It's like, fuck it out. Fuck it. I'm doing it live.
Hey, hold on. Hold on. That's exactly what the fuck we doing.
We'll do it live. we'll do it live. Fuck it.
It really ain't. Like,
Baltimore County.
Yeah, but it says the judge has overturned a more than $37 million verdict awarded to the family of a woman killed in an armed standoff with Baltimore County Police. Corinne Gaines, 23, was shot and killed in August 2016 after an hours-long standoff with police in Baltimore County. She was trying to live stream the encounter with police, authorities said at the time. Her son, Cody, then 5, was shot twice, said Kenneth Ravenel, an attorney for the child, and his father, Corey Cunningham. In an opinion obtained by CNN, Baltimore County Circuit Court Associate Judge Mickey J. Norman said that Corporal Royce Ruby, who court documents say shot Gaines twice, was entitled to qualified immunity. This means that because Ruby was acting in his capacity as a police officer, he is shielded from responsibility for civil damages as long as his conduct didn't violate a person's constitutional rights. Are you fucking kidding me?
You shot a 5-year-old.
The evidence
there's is, a 5-year-old that got shot.
It says the evidence is clear. Norman's opinion read, the court has found that Corporal Ruby is entitled to qualified immunity and therefore his shooting of Gaines was not unlawful. Norman said the court would grant a new civil trial as a result of this new opinion. Ain't that a bitch? So they were found liable. They were found already liable for the death of this woman, wrongful death of this woman. They were her family was awarded damages because of this wrongful death of this woman. And then a judge comes behind that and says, well, because he was a cop and because we believe that she probably was exacerbating this particular situation and he killed her because, of course, this goes back into I fear for my life shit, too. Right. Mm-hmm. They said she was live streaming. She was trying to live stream this event. Those words that because this person was a police officer, that they are entitled to qualified immunity. I want y'all to remember that, like, again, we keep going back to this. These elections have fucking consequences.
They really do.
There is no fucking way in hell you staying at home to not vote, or you not paying attention to what these judges have ruled on in the past. Like, and I get it. Everybody can't be abreast of all of these. It's a lot. I know it's a lot, when it comes to these judges. But sometimes, like, you don't vote for the judge. You vote for the people who put those judges in those seats. And for this one, or for this judge, Mickey Norman, to pretty much exonerate a police officer from any responsibility for taking that woman's life simply because that person was a police officer is appalling to me, man. It's appalling to me.
Because being a judge is an elected position. They don't apply for this position. There is no interview process. They are elected.
They are elected. Sometimes they are selected by whom you elected mm-hmm. to put them in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to vacate that you know, that judgment for that family, man, and to have them have to go through this entire thing all over again, only for you to come back, because here's what's going to happen. So now you've exonerated this police officer. You like, okay, that judgment was some bullshit. You've exonerated this police officer, and now this family really doesn't have any recourse to get recompense for the loss of their loved one from these police mm-hmm. officers because of the fact that you just said that this police officer was immune from any retribution or any responsibility from this. So the family gets nothing. Mm-hmm. There is no justice meted out for this family. None.
None at all. None at all. I still remember when this case, like when all of this happened, because then a lot more videos of her, because she live streamed a lot. Like she live streamed yeah. when she went to a police department for a complaint. She live streamed when she got pulled over by a police officer. So live streaming for her was not new. But I watched a lot of, and I'm sorry to harp on this, a lot of straight black men
yeah.
not be in her corner. But if Corinne had been a Corey Gaines, y'all would be like, don't matter. The police are fucked up. We need to be behind him. So many men were like, she should have just listened to the police. She should have just did what they said. Mm-hmm. She should have just stood down.
I remember, like, there being people who talked about her endangering her child's life, calling her all kinds of bitches because of the mm-hmm. fact that her son was there with her, and, you know, she's not a good mom, and, you know, she deserved what happened mm-hmm. to her because she put that boy mm-hmm. in harm's way. It was like, man, like, y'all don't have the same motherfucking energy when it's the us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nope.
I remember back in, like, 2014, 2015, 2016, where, like, you had black dudes arguing as to whether or not the Black Lives Matter movement was even legitimate. And most of it was about the fact that there were black women leading it, and mm-hmm. there were black queer women leading it, and uh-huh. they weren't being able to step out into the forefront. They wanted to be out on the forefront of it and to say that we're leading this. This is our movement. When it's like, yo, man, like, they're amplifying the voices and amplifying the plight of you. Like, I don't understand uh-huh. your beef, but it was a whole.
It ain't no real movement. Where the black man? It yeah. ain't no real movement. Ain't no black man heading it.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Oh, man, you had people going to their website. You had people going to the Black Lives Matter website. Like, so. We, it's like it's, they tried to act as if it was a movement for gay people and they were usurping the black family. Like, it was deep. It was weird. Like, watching
it was
them, like,
way
it
weird.
Was like, man, what? Like, how did you get all the way over there? We right here, bro.
Like, why are you doing this? I'm like, you look at every movement in our history, black women have been the backbone of all of them. It's like, it wouldn't be no movement without us. What are y'all doing?
You think back to the civil rights movement with Fannie Lou Hamer, Rosa Parks, mm-hmm. hell, even Coretta Scott mm-hmm. King was very instrumental in what was going on with that civil rights movement. You think back to, like, the women of the Black Panther Party, who were pretty much mm-hmm. the, nothing moved in the Black Panther Party without the women of the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
We give a lot of those dudes all of the credit. We give Huey P. Newton the credit. We give Eldridge Cleaver a lot of credit. We give Bobby Seale a lot of credit. We don't give enough credit to the women of the Black Panther Party. We just don't, and a lot of it is because we don't know. And mm-hmm. because those men were able to step out into the forefront, they were able to tell a story and put themselves out bigger. But mm-hmm. the unsung heroes of those movements were the women. And here we had an opportunity where the women were at the forefront of it, and these dudes did not know how to fucking handle it. They just did not know yep. how to handle it. And so,
yep.
yeah, I know some of those dudes who would probably go back now and be like, yeah, that family don't deserve no money anyway. Meanwhile, that little boy that they say they were so fucking worried about, he ain't got his mama no more. And what little justice he may have gotten financially has been taken away from
mm-hmm.
him. while y'all gonna be, you know, celebrating the fact that this family has now had their civil award taken away from them by the judgment of this particular judge. So that's in proud to be a motherfucking American. Another story that's in proud to be an American, and this is something that doesn't necessarily surprise me, but says that text messages show collusion between police and far right wing extremists out in Oregon. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of NBCnews.com. It says a member of Portland City Council said Thursday, a newspaper report that the commander for the police rapid response team exchanged friendly text messages with a leader of a far right protest that had rocked the city confirms collusion exists between some police and right wing extremists. Now, I'm sure he going to say some shit like,
oh, that was different.
Like, those text messages ain't had nothing to do with what y'all think it was. Those was different. So we
it's different.
It says, I'm not shocked and I'm not surprised at today's reporting of Lieutenant Jeff Nye's collaboration with the Patriot prayer leader Joy Gibson over text to provide aid and support for the hate marches, Councilwoman Joanne Hardesty said in a statement. Wilmette Week obtained text messages through a public records request between Nye and Gibson. The text purportedly showed Nye had a friendly rapport with Gibson, frequently discussing Gibson's plans to demonstrate. In one text reported by the newspaper, Nye tells Gibson that he doesn't see a need to arrest his assistant Tulsita Tosi. I'm probably fucking that up, but who cares? They're racist. Who often brawls with anti-fascist protesters, even if he has a warrant, unless Tosi commits a new crime. So he's not going to arrest the dude. He got a warrant. I'm not going to arrest him. I'm not going to arrest him unless he does some new shit. I'm going to give him a pass on this one. He got to do some new shit before I fuck with him. Come on, man.
No.
It says, just to make sure he doesn't do anything which may draw our attention, Nye texted Gibson on December 9th, 2017, the Wilmette Week reported, if he still has the warrant in the system, I don't run you guys, so I don't personally know. The officers could arrest him. I don't see a need to arrest on the warrant unless there is a reason. A police spokesperson said it is not unusual for officers to suggest people turn themselves in and avoid being arrested on a warrant. In crowd management situations, it may not be safe or prudent to arrest a person right at that time, so the arrest may be delayed or followed up on later. It is not uncommon for officers to provide guidance for someone to turn themselves in on a warrant if the subject is not present, Lieutenant Tina Jones said. Since Portland police were accused at a protest last August of being heavy-handed against people, injuring some who were protesting a rally of extreme right demonstrators organized by Gibson. Hardesty said, in a broken police system in Portland must be addressed. This story, like many that have come before it, simply confirms what many in the community have already known, that they are members of the Portland police force who work in collusion with right-wing extremists, she said. And the sad part about all of this is that I'm not motherfucking surprised. I'm not at surprised. Because here's the thing. Like, we've had word, like, it's already been established that, like, even into the ranks of the FBI, like, it's already been established that a lot of right-wing extremist races have been able to be a part of the police departments across this country. Many of these guys go into the military. They come out of the military. They get the training from the military. They come out of the military. And then they go into the police force. And so...
Yep.
And the militarization of the police force, it looks eerily similar to troops going over to fight wars and everything else. We saw this in Ferguson. We saw this in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We've seen this. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of those dudes are really soldiers. They were ex-Army, ex-Marines, ex-Navy. Mm-hmm. Like, they are soldiers. So...
Yep.
A lot of these races are able to go into the military, learn these skills to not only kill, but like build, like they learn these tangible skills. Then they come back out and then they're able to exert their racism in a much more forceful way in an official capacity by being a police officer. And if you get a friendly fucking judge, if you kill somebody black, you know what? You're not really responsible for that because why? You are a member of the police force. Like,
it's way
again. It's a movie we've seen before, man.
Sometimes I don't even have the words for how stupid this shit is.
Yeah,
it's like y'all don't see this, And I swear sometimes I'm like, I want to go back to sleep. I'm like, I wish I didn't see this stuff. I wish I was back in the Matrix and I didn't see this shit. You want, or better yet, don't want to see the forest beyond the trees anymore, because I'm kind of done.
You want that juicy ass steak, old boy, here in the Matrix? Like, you know
what, I do.
Just plug me back in. I'm sorry, man.
Just plug me back in, because... Mm.
I'm sorry. We got one last story. We got one last story here, and this actually is also in Proud to Be an American. So, a West Virginia delegate... this dude actually compared the LGBTQ community to the KKK.
What?
I said he compared the LGBTQ community to the KKK.
What?
Okay, I'm not going to keep. Yeah. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the Hill. As a matter, is there a video with this? I like to play the video.
No. Man.
Keeps me from doing all that goddamn reading. All right, there is video attached to this.
What has the response been in the state to his...
Well, let me pull this up so y'all can watch this too. Because that's selfish if I watch it by myself. that's selfish. Come on, Span. So, yeah, here we go. Check it out.
Words.
Nothing but love.
Wait, he ain't in the video?
Some people are very angry. Some people started organizing. And they organized so well to where there's a candidate that I filed my pre-candidacy with that's going to run against Mr. Porterfield in Mercer County. I was very honored to stand with this woman along with another delegate because he called for our resignation. Hmm. So myself, Tina Russell, who will be running against Mr. Porterfield, and Sammy Brown filed our pre-candidacy together on Monday. Not because we're...
Okay, I'm sorry. This isn't what I thought this was going to be. Let me go to YouTube real quick, because I know that this guy, I know that he says
something. I enjoyed the tone of her voice in December. I was
she was very pleasant.
I have to pay attention to what you're saying.
Yeah, she was very pleasant. Hold on a second. I know that this dude has said some real foul shit. I had the video, but this apparently isn't it. So let's go to YouTube and find this dude.
Should yeah, because we got to see the video of Roberto.
Yeah, this dude look crazy as hell.
Bobby, this is your father, Roberto.
Okay, here we go.
That's what he looks like.
he looked like
those were not.
He looks like Sloth off motherfucking what's the shit? The Goonies. He looked like Sloth.
The Goonies.
Hey, you guys. Sloth loves junk. That's what he looked like. He looked like him. So, and I only say this shit because he's a hateful son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I really wouldn't be, you know, because he's blind and shit. You know, he can't apparently see his racism and homophobia, but.
Wow. Really? Man.
You gotta laugh.
Now I feel bad.
You gotta laugh to keep.
Almost.
Nah, fuck him, man. I'm just.
Fuck him. I almost feel a little bit bad. Not really. But.
Here's some of the hateful things that this dude said, so you don't feel as bad for laughing at his goofy ass.
Check anti-gay remarks. Those are anti-LGBTQ remarks that I make because they are political terrorists. They are probably the closest things to the Ku Klux Klan in the modern political era.
You have a adorable daughter and a precious son. Mm-hmm. What would happen if a few years from now, when they're teens, young adults, they came to you and said that they think that they might be gay or lesbian?
Well, I will address my daughter first, as I would take her for a pedicure, take her to get her nails done, and see if she could swim. If it was my son, I would probably take him hunting, I would take him fishing, and I'd see if he could swim.
Hold up. He's blind.
What the hell?
He's blind.
Is the woman who has sex with him blind? Because I feel like there's a lot that's going on.
How in the fuck is he hunting anything?
How's he taking them for a drive?
He's blind. I'm gonna take my son out hunting, and then I'm gonna see if he can swim.
But you can't see nothing.
How would you know?
All he gotta do is stand behind your ass, and he good.
Man, look. He's like, apparently, right now, He's actually talking about drowning his fucking kids if they came to him and told him they were gay or lesbian.
Like, but I'm, he gonna make sure her feet are done? I'm so confused.
Yeah, like he's trying to like wrap it up and like, I'm gonna treat her like a little lady. You know, I'm gonna take her to get her nails and her hair done. And then I'm gonna let her know, I'm gonna see if she can swim. And then I'm gonna take my little boy out. And I'm gonna take him out there to go hunt and everything. And then I'm gonna see if he can swim. Like
I feel like you need to pick one. I'm like, everybody gotta swim, everybody but only he hunting. And she gonna get a mani pedi?
Well, we know he ain't gonna shoot him because he can't see him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, he's gonna be shooting. Every motherfucking way.
Just like, I don't understand where you're getting this from.
They could swim.
I just want to make sure they could swim.
What do you mean by that?
That's it. I mean, I'd take them out to do activities.
The LGBT is the most socialist group in this country. They do not protect gays.
All right, that's enough of this shit. It is of no coincidence that dude is wearing a damn Make America Great Again hat.
Of course it's not. It is of no coincidence. But a lot of them don't want to see the correlation. Like, no, we're different. Like, no. It's too many of y'all that aren't.
Y'all racist, sexist shit. Y'all racist, sense. Y'all homophobic, y'all xenophobic, the whole shit. Like, yeah, we got y'all pegged. It's pretty much right. Yeah. It's pretty much right.
We're pretty much good on this. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm surprised nobody has called CPS. How old are these children? Nobody called CPS yet.
You know what?
Nobody. Not any anonymous calls. Because I'll call. Wait here.
Hey, man, he talking about
I'm just going to slide
kids.
You this video.
He talking about
it's on the fucking news.
He talking about drowning them kids. Y'all better go get them kids.
You better go get them kids. Somebody, because like, she said in a few years. So I'm like, how old are these children?
Man, somebody was like, man, fuck them kids. Like somebody said, that. man, fuck them kids. I ain't just that's crazy. But yo,
take them over to Ma's house.
We don't have no champ or no ass hat of the week, man. It's closed. Like it's been too close. I did a show Thursday, so we ain't got no ass hat or no champ of the week. But yo, Stephanie. Thank you, sister, for coming on tonight.
Of course.
So, before you get up out of here, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you over at the Mocha Minutes podcast. And, get in touch with you over there.
Okay. Well, you can find the Mocha Minutes podcast wherever you find podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You can find me, Roman the Spicy. You know what's bad.
God damn, like all those fucking outlets. All those outlets. God, I'm like shit.
It's the wind.
Nigga, I ain't even on TuneIn no more. Like, god damn. Like, they booted my ass off, man.
You a mess. Nah, you a mess. Beyonce fan is just whipping you. Woo, Beyonce fan. But you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. At Mocha Minutes on all three of those platforms. You can also find me on the Spicy Bird on my personal Twitter, where you know it gets a little bit more ratchet than the show page. At Sunny Twote That, because I tweet a lot of stuff. I got into a right winger who wanted to argue with me today about Muhammad Ali and John Wayne. I'm like, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I said what I said. Leave me the hell alone. I had to mute the conversation. I'm like, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can find me there. That's all the stuff for you know. Now that Span is back, he was blown away a little bit. He's back now.
Yeah, I was, man. I was like, man, that's a lot of. I'm like, what am I on? Shit. I'm like, I know more iTunes. Goddamn it! I'm like, iTunes, Google Play. We on Spotify now. We finally got on Spotify.
Yay!
Stitcher. If people still use Stitcher. but yeah, man. Like, it's so many different ways to listen to podcasts now. It's crazy.
So easy to do now.
It is. I remember, like, again, when I first started podcasting, many people were like, mm-hmm. first, what's a podcast? And the other thing was, if they didn't have an iPhone, they really did not know how to, like, get to a podcast. Like, if it wasn't an iPhone, they didn't know how. So there was that education that you had to give people. Now, like, podcasts are so ubiquitous. You know, like even your streaming services are starting to include it, like Spotify now, and they're even coming out with their own original content and stuff. So it's real. I'm starting to stutter and shit. The podcast medium Yeah. It's really grown over the years, so it's real good. But again, sister, I thank you for coming on. Though her contact information will be in the show notes, so y'all can go ahead and like click on that and follow her on Twitter. Go and listen to her show, not only the Mocha Minutes podcast, but the Ratchet Aunties and Uncle Hour over there. Go ahead and listen to that as well. Patronize that show. Let that sister know the Spare Report sent you over there. You heard her over here. Go ahead and let that sister know that y'all got some love for her. Y'all heard her here, and y'all want to fuck with her over there. So, yeah, I really do appreciate you, sister, for coming on, and we about to get on up out of here. But until next time, fam, peace.
Bye.